It's a podcast where we talk about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. How you doing, Max?
A little waked up by the new space.
Yeah, we are coming at you live and direct from the Pre-Dead Boys vacation castle.
Beach house.
Yeah, overlooking our domain.
Sunset Boulevard, correct?
Sunset Drive.
Sunset Drive.
Yeah. Cool. I just announced the street that I live on to the internet.
I incorrectly announced it, and then...
And then I correctly announced it, so it's my own fault. I have no one to blame but myself. But anyway, yeah, just please, if you come down Sunset Drive in Columbus and you see a large castle, please just leave me alone. I'm here to get away from the world. No solicitors.
Looking at the beautiful Scioto River.
That's right. Beautiful, clean, not filled with goose poop.
I had to, like, drag all the skulls over.
Yeah.
That normally lines my basement where we do this.
Yeah. Now they're lining my castle.
I did not bring the frog.
Oh, man.
I actually don't know what happened to that, and that's kind of shitty of me that I did that to my roommates. Like, I brought this dead frog into my house and then immediately lost it. I was like, I don't know where that thing is anymore. Bye.
Aw.
Sorry.
That was my favorite thing that I ever pulled out from under the couch.
This is a good one.
Hopefully we'll find that good frog.
I've noticed that when I record, I reach around a lot, and I, like, kind of move my arms. I like to wiggle.
Yeah, and you rub your chest real loud.
Is that noticeable? That's probably noticeable.
It was just, it happened the one time, but nobody complained about it, so I think you're good.
Well, what I found, I'm 27.
Yeah.
And I learned, like, 2 weeks ago that when you put on deodorant, you don't need to put 10 swipes of deodorant on, which Ooh. Is what I was doing. Like, I would put it on and go...
You're rubbing your pits raw, my guy.
Yeah, and they were like, I had a rash for like 8 years.
Oh, jeez.
Never did anything about it. And then I Googled, how much deodorant do you need to put on? And the internet was like, 3 or 4 swipes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, huh. So now I have like a rash, or the rash is away, but it's itchy because all the hair and like skin is growing back. So I'm like patting my pits a lot and airing them out to get the rash.
Man, that actually kind of sounds like a good strategy because armpit hair can be kind of annoying and cumbersome sometimes. You ever get your armpit hair stuck in something? Like I got tattoos on my arms and the bandage.
Oh, yeah.
Wrapped around my arm. And so I got this nice, like, not only was tape sealing my hair to the side of my arm.
You
got to
pull it off.
Yeah, but also, like, the gooey ink and blood and sweat mixture kind of got in there, too. It was delicious. Love it. Starting this...
It's extremely gnar.
Starting this episode, real gross.
Well, that's good, because it is a very gross one today.
Oh, I'm excited.
Which I'm excited about. There are, like, a few episodes where I sit down and I'm, like, I'll get halfway through it and then... put it back in the drive and let it sit for a while and then have to go back to it.
Yeah.
And this one was definitely one where I heard about it and I was like, oh, hell yeah. And then immediately knocked it out in a matter of hours in one marathon sesh, just like got it all done.
Machine gunning your research.
Yeah. And I am over the moon with how like both brutal and kind of pure and sweet this episode is.
I'm very excited.
So let's get this started. Since we are in a different location, we don't have a couch. So you're going to have to, I brought this 10 gallon baseball hat. And if you can just reach in there and pull out your gift for this week.
All right. Is it a VHS tape?
It's a VHS tape.
Of SpongeBob SquarePants Halloween.
Uh-huh.
5 Spooky Sea Tales. Did you bring a VCR as well?
I didn't. I haven't seen a VCR in years.
Oh, you probably couldn't fit that in the 10-gallon baseball hat.
Too, no, it would have torn through the fabric.
Okay. This episode of Pre-Dead Boys was brought to you by SpongeBob SquarePants on VHS, now available.
Well, specifically because this week we're going to be talking about some spooky stuff,
ooh,
both in and around the ocean.
Ooh, a spooky episode.
So let's crack into the topic this week with the still unofficial, still unsponsored pre-Dead Boys crack into the topic moment, hopefully one day sponsored by LaCroix. Ow.
Wait, what happened to your fingernails? Did they fail you?
I disconnected one of my nails accidentally. So opening cans is a little tough, but...
This is easily the most disgusting episode we've ever recorded.
Yeah, this is awful.
This gives me great pleasure.
So...
Max McKenna always killing it with the show notes.
Can you describe what you're looking at before we get into this? This is good.
I think it's a photo of me while we record this episode.
I love the Dark Stock Photos account on Twitter.
Oh, geez. Yeah, this is a good one. It's a guy in a tweed jacket with a little teacup, and he's on a laptop, and he's a skeleton.
But he's got people hands. He's got flesh hands.
He does have human hands. It's creepy and bizarre. And I love it.
It's good. So, speaking of Twitter, the first part of this episode was inspired by my dude Jordan, who runs the very good Twitter account at BlueWhaleFacts1, and tweets a lot of good whale-related content, like... Blue whales are probably as smart as elephants.
Probably.
Probably.
Anytime a fact includes the word probably.
It's good.
That's a good sign.
He sent us this tweet after our episode last week.
Thanks for the shout out, pre-dead boys. Did you know that the carcass of a dead whale that falls down to the depths of the ocean creates a complex ecosystem that can last decades? This is called a whale fall.
I haven't received a better tweet in my entire life.
Yeah, this is a good one.
I was amped about it. I don't know. Have you ever heard of whale falls before?
Not before this tweet. When it came in, I did a little, like, 5-minute Googling. A
little research.
And I tried to rein it back in because I figured we might cover this because this is very cool.
Yeah, I was amped. Like, I hadn't heard about this. And the ocean honestly kind of freaks me out. And I don't really like learning about it that much.
Oh, okay.
I think I watched The Abyss on cable once when I was a kid and that kind of did it for me.
Scared you straight.
Like, I was like, oh, I don't want my head to be dunked in water. That sucks.
Yeah. Do you need a hug or are you going to be okay?
I'm going to be good. I just can't think about the deep ocean. Really, I can't think about the ocean that, like, more than 10 feet below the surface.
Okay, cool.
Peak water is the first 10 feet of ocean.
Yeah.
Any more than that is where fish live, and that sucks.
Yeah, 10 feet. And what did you say the topic of this episode is again?
Very, very deep oceans.
Awesome. All right. Just making sure.
We're going to watch some good videos. Let's watch this weird little video to kick us off about whales decomposing. I think you're going to enjoy the art style of this one in particular.
All right. For the listener there, we will post links to all videos, as we often do, in the description of this podcast.
There are some grade A videos this week. So sorry we're an audio-only podcast, but they're rad.
Oh, the video content is exclusive to our Patreon subscribers and our Kickstarter backers supporters.
You get the Patreon-only episode description.
All right. Whale fall. Afterlife of a whale. That's tight.
Yeah, I mean, for basically being a video about whales falling to the bottom of the ocean and decomposing, that's a very sweet little vid.
Yeah, it's very adorable, and I love especially the parts that are these cute little construction paper-made worms crawling across a whale carcass, and the most menacing, evil-sounding music playing behind it.
It's a lot of, like, deep cello and very discordant stuff.
Yeah, but it's a very cool way of showing the process. I would imagine that getting footage of all this happening would be really expensive and difficult.
It's tough, and it's also pretty gross, as I'm about to have you find out.
When a whale dies, the story has just begun. The massive carcass sinks to the seafloor, where it provides food for a deep-sea ecosystem on the otherwise mostly barren seafloor. There are several stages to the whale fall ecosystem, as different parts of the whale are used up. In the first phase, mobile scavengers such as ratfish, hagfish, and sharks smell whale on the water and swim from afar, feeding for up to 2 years on the dead whale's soft flesh.
There was a contestant on The Bachelorette a couple years ago who kept referring to, like, they would hit this next stage of their relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, they would find out something more about each other. And he kept calling that onion time. And the whale stages remind me a lot of onion time. Because you're just peeling back the layers of this whale. And each one takes, like, a super long time to get through.
Whether you choose onion time or whale layer time, both of those are the least romantic metaphors I could think of for use in The Bachelor, but that's just me.
I'm a big fan of onion time. So first, there's this fleshy outer layer that sharks and a bunch of other stuff eat, which is crazy on its own. So you remember when we did the Terracotta Army episode?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this thing is the size of the city of Miami, Florida.
Right.
This is huge. And you learn about that when you're a kid and you're like, that's crazy. A whale is something that I think about. And like, I thought about whales when I was a kid and I was like, oh, I guess they're pretty big.
Yeah.
But then you learn about this and you're like, oh, it takes sharks 2 years to eat a whale.
Right.
And as far as TV has taught me, a shark is able to eat me in like 15 seconds.
Even a tall boy like you.
Yeah. A shark can just get me in one bite. So if it's going to take 2 years to eat a whole whale, that's crazy.
That's a lot of squishy whale flesh. In the second phase, the enrichment opportunist phase, worms, crustaceans, and mollusks feed on leftover blubber, often burrowing into the nutrient-entrenched sediment beneath the whale for around 2 years.
Yeah, so it gets a little squishier and grosser from here on out.
Yeah, it's real grody.
So you get through the whale's fleshy outer layer, and then you hit the blubber. So whale blubber isn't really like people fat, where it's, you know, it's just kind of fat.
Yeah, it's like flubber.
It's like flubber.
But not as green?
It's not as green.
Okay, but it's basically the same.
But it can drive a car.
Yeah.
And can also go into space.
Right.
I think that's what happened in Flubber. I haven't watched it.
There is no space component to my knowledge.
There's a little robot that flies around, and that little robot's kind of cute.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we should cover that in our next episode of Pretty Dead Boys.
Just flubber?
Yeah.
Be good. So whale blubber acts as basically an extra layer of skin, in my understanding. It's almost more like a connective tissue in whales. I work with kids, and sometimes when they learn about camels, they're like, oh, a camel's hump is just fat. And I'm like, well, it's not only fat, because having a big sack of fat on a camel's back would be really gross and doesn't actually work.
Just imagine the hump on a camel, like, lumped over, and it's got some cellulite and rolls. And
it's also, like, 400 pounds of fat, which is how much I assume is in there, because camels are big.
They're big old boys.
Yeah. And these kids are just like, oh, no, it's just fat. And I think whale blubber is kind of like the camel hump stuff.
Yeah, you've got a much more civil response to children being wrong than I would have.
Yeah, you just be like, yeah, it's really gnarly in there. It's basically mayonnaise, like a hump full of mayonnaise.
Oh,
so the connective tissue that is blubber is the thing that helps the whale be buoyant and retain heat when it's on the very cold ocean at night. So a bunch of crabs come in and eat that part. And then we get to the bones.
The final stage, called the sulfophilic stage, can last decades. With only the skeleton remaining, bacteria begin breaking down lipids trapped inside the bones, generating sulfur, which attracts more bacteria and a larger community of diverse and rare species, including mussels, worms, snails, and others. This diversity of species found in this last stage is larger than any known community on the deep seafloor.
This is rad.
Yeah.
I was like geeking out as I was reading a lot of this. And a lot of the time I think that, you know, whale fall is kind of the gift that keeps on giving, because the whale plummets and then it's like, oh, this is rad. And there's three stages.
Yeah.
And it really does keep on giving, because after they suck the bones dry, we get to another little invader. Zombie worms.
Ooh. The whale skeleton itself is also a rich supplier of resources, particularly for a type of parasitic creature often referred to as zombie worms, Ocydax roseus, because they feast on the dead. They burrow down into the bone and digest the lipids. According to the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History, the species was discovered feasting on a rotting gray whale carcass in 2002. In what could be considered an evolutionary hack to avoid searching for a mate, Only female worms perform the necessary drilling to get to the fat within the bones. The males live inside the females, sometimes 100 males in one female.
There's a lot to unpack about the zombie worm.
Ooh, that's weird.
I don't really know how the females doing all the work is an evolutionary hack. It just seems like the male zombie worms are just super lazy. I don't know.
It's like a dysfunctional married couple. Like, Phil, would you get your ass off the couch and mow the lawn? Nah, I'm working on this evolutionary hack. And he's just playing Xbox.
Yeah. I guess I gotta go drill through the bones myself. And also, I'm a huge fan of when animals have a lot of sexual dimorphism, which is when there's two different traits that they exhibit.
Okay.
And I really like that apparently 100 male zombie worms can fit inside one female zombie worm.
That's real bizarre to think about.
Like, they're just huge Amazonian female zombie worms and little tiny
Danny
nymph.
DeVito.
Yeah.
Zombie worm.
Well, the zombie worms are like Danny DeVito in the Sunny episode where he lives in the couch and the female zombie worm is the couch.
Yes. Oh.
And they like emerge after he gets in the bone and it's like... I'm in the bone!
Ugh. This is so weird. I love it.
Once all these zombie worms descend upon the whale, the final part of the whale fall is complete. So the soft, spongy parts of the bone get sucked out, which leaves behind this just kind of hard, porous skeleton. Okay. If you took your bones out of your body and then vacuumed all the goop out of it, it would be pretty brittle, because the thing that makes it strong is the cartilage and marrow and stuff within the bone.
The goop. The bone goop.
The bone goop. So the skeleton then provides an amazing spot for invertebrate underwater life to latch onto.
Mm-hmm.
Various polyps and sea... various polyps and, you know, those little things that kind of look like palm trees?
Oh, you mean a sea anemone?
Yeah. Those things, they latch onto the bones. Those things latch onto the bones and make the final product of this big whale skeleton look almost like a coral reef. The videos of these things are so cool. Of the whole process of a whale fall ecosystem as observed by an underwater ROV. And this is really beautiful, and I'm going to make sure Dorian puts this in the show notes because it's really remarkable.
Very gross and beautiful.
Yeah. I like when things are underwater. It gives a whole new kind of like alien air to it all.
Yeah.
So that video is from the Rosebud Whale Fall, which is maybe the most significant whale fall that we've been aware of, because whale falls are pretty rare to find. For one, we only recently developed the technology to be able to record underwater with that kind of clarity.
Right.
To have really any idea what's going on down there. Second, the ocean is really big.
What?
The ocean is big and deep. So, you know, it's not like we know when a whale dies.
Right.
So when a whale dies, it just falls. And we're probably not going to be able to, like, figure out where it is. So for an underwater ROV to be kind of scooting along and just be like, oh, wait, that's a dead whale. This is important. Like, those researchers found that and then parked themselves there and basically just filmed this whole thing over the course of a couple of years. And we're able to learn a ton about how this whole ecosystem develops.
Wildlife photography is already fascinating to me because you basically have to just wait for things to happen. I remember seeing a Planet Earth episode where they were trying to film this super endangered lion, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And this guy made a little hut and camped out there for, I think he was just in there for 2 weeks straight, just hiding, man, in this little, hoping that a pride of lions would come by. And they finally did. And he got this, you know, 5 second section in Planet Earth.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So it's amazing to me. There's not exactly a lot of whales to view in the first place, let alone ones that die and you can observe this whale fall
spot
process.
Them. Yeah. That's one of those, like, whenever flat Earth people go, oh, I'm on a plane, I can't see the curvature. I'm like, do you realize how big the Earth is compared to you? It's big. You're probably not going to see it.
Yeah, nothing against you dumb idiot flat earthers. But you don't know
Kyrie
what you're talking
Irving.
About.
So, I realize this may be gross, but a lot of the stuff we talk about on this podcast is pretty gnarly. But whale falls are kind of beautiful. It's a real cycle of life type thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost like sky burial, where the whale dies after living 75 to 90 years, and then it kind of gives itself back into the environment that it's taken from for that whole time.
Right.
Like with Sky Burial, the whole philosophy is, I've been taking from the earth my whole life, so now I'm gonna, with my one last act, give myself back to the earth. And the whale kind of gives itself back to the ocean, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I saw something that said that the nutrients from one whale fall provide the area with the equivalent of 2,000 years of nutrients that it would otherwise have to get from just detritus falling down.
Right,
like
wow.
Dead plankton and dead fish and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if the whale, like a whale fall, is like underwater gentrification. Where like in this little patch you have like a bunch of polyps that have lived there for a long time and they all know each other and they're all tight. And you know, it's like there's not a lot, but they really love the area. And then like a big whale carcass falls down and crushes all of them. And then a bunch of like fucking crabs move in and start selling artisanal juice.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a critical difference in that there's probably not all that much on the seafloor until a whale fall happens. You know, they're not displacing quite as much as...
Yeah.
But, hey, we're not a sociology podcast,
not a sociology right? podcast.
We're just two really opinionated dudes.
I just really also like the image of a whale hitting and then a bunch of crabs moving in and starting to put, like, aioli on things. So... It's worth noting that whales aren't the only thing that die in the ocean and become reefs. You can as well.
Oh?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to explicitly die in the ocean to do this, but there's a company in Sarasota, Florida called Eternal Reefs, and they can help you achieve your goal.
Oh, wow.
So let's hear it straight from the reef maker's mouth.
An eternal reef is a designed reef made of environmentally safe cast concrete that is used to create new marine habitats for fish and other forms of sea life. Eternal Reefs takes the cremated remains, or cremains, of an individual and incorporates them into an environmentally safe cement mixture designed to create artificial reef formations. The eternal reefs are then placed in the permitted ocean location selected by the individual, friend, or family member.
Yeah, so this idea is really cool. For as much as we destroy coral reefs by, like, driving boats through them and dumping oil in the ocean.
And farting.
Farting into the ocean.
Water. Yep.
You know, we're finding some small ways to put stuff back in. And these, they call them reef balls. They actually look pretty cool as well. They kind of look like soccer balls, but with holes
yeah.
instead of the black parts.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
The holes allow, like, fish to swim through and coral to grow in it.
Yeah.
Barnacles.
So is this like an urn functionally then that there's remains in?
Not entirely. The remains are mixed in with the cement.
Oh, okay.
Your ashes are spread through this mushroom-shaped fixture that this company takes and then they plant in the seafloor and they kind of bury it so it's weighted down so a hurricane isn't going to knock it up or anything like that.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a little underwater tombstone. Because you can see there's, like, the inscription and a little plaque on it.
Right, it looks like a sculpture.
Yeah. And another rad thing about this is that all the areas that they place these orbs in are free for scuba diving.
Hmm.
So you can go visit your friends or relatives by taking a scuba trip, which is kind of neat.
That's so cool.
Another thing that I really jive with this company, I'm really bummed they don't have Twitter, because I was going to tweet at them and be like, hey, y'all are rad. So it's a 4-day process from casting to final placement. And the family is involved in the full process from making the orb to actually burying it, which is really cool.
Families and friends are invited and encouraged to participate with the creation of their loved one's eternal reef. Participants can help mix the remains into the concrete and personalize the memorial with handprints and written messages in the damp concrete. Small personal mementos can also be included. The entire Eternal Reefs process is a positive experience that is designed to help heal both the sea and the soul.
So I feel like a lot of, you know, what we think and the death positive movement as a whole is, you know, not really down with the displacement of how far separated we are from death.
Yeah.
You know, when someone dies, they're whisked away to a funeral home where everything's taken care of and it's very sanitized. And with this, you are a part of that final process. Like, you're a part of constructing this memorial to your friend or your relative. And it's cool that these objects are starting to build more throughout the ocean and actually start some traction with new reefs.
Yeah, contribute to the ecosystem in a positive, cool way.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's neat. There's a lot of them, too.
Eternal reefs are permanent additions to the marine environment and serve to help preserve, protect, and enhance the ocean's health. Presently, there are more than 1,800 eternal reefs placed off the coasts of Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Maryland, New Jersey, Texas, and Virginia.
Yeah, this is a cool thing. I like this company a lot.
And yeah.
One of the issues that I run into with this podcast is that there's all these new ways that I'm like, oh, that would be a cool way to be buried when I die.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, so I want to be fed to vultures. I want to be put in a big concrete orb and sunk into the ocean.
Yep.
Shoot some of me into space.
For me, it's I want to be mummified and have a bunch of toxic preservatives pumped into me.
Honey.
I want to be cryogenically frozen. I want to damage the environment as much as possible.
Have as big of a carbon footprint through your death.
I want to be buried with a semi-truck. No, fuck all of that. This is very cool. I'm all for this process. It sounds beautiful and practical.
Yeah. Now, you don't have to be placed in a big concrete ball to be buried at sea. Burial at sea has been a pretty common practice throughout a lot of cultures over the years.
Okay.
This is pretty good. I went to the EPA's website to be like, what are the rules for burying people at sea? Like, I was trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
And they don't have a separate webpage for it. They list it in the quote-unquote ocean dumping section, which also covers like, hey, can I take this big bag of garbage and throw it in the ocean? And the EPA is like, no. Because they also don't really like you to dump bodies in the ocean.
Yeah. I could see there being some questionable circumstances.
Yeah, like Dexter.
I mean, I didn't watch much Dexter, but, you know, there's the sleeping with the fishes stereotypical mafia, whatever.
Concrete boots.
Yeah.
I guess that happened enough that the EPA had to write a little section on their website about it. Hit it!
Burial at sea is the disposal of human remains in the ocean, normally from a ship or boat. It is regularly performed by navies and is done by private citizens in many countries. Burial at sea services are available at many different locations and with many different customs, either by ship or by aircraft. Usually, either the captain or commanding officer of the ship or aircraft or a religious representative of the decedent's religion or the state religion performs the ceremony.
So, for a long time in the West, before the EPA got involved, this process was almost entirely practiced by navies and boat people. Boat folk.
Boat folk.
Boat folk.
Yes.
Neil Armstrong was buried at sea, which is pretty cool.
But he's a space folk.
Yeah, but the ocean is kind of like space because it's very big.
He's a space cowboy.
He's a space cowboy. A lot of victims of the Titanic disaster were buried at sea.
Right.
Not when they died in the boat, but when they were recovered, they didn't have embalming materials on the rescue boats.
Oh.
So they had to perform a lot of state-officiated funerals for these people who didn't survive the disaster and died after they were rescued.
Wow.
So you can even hire a company to bury you at sea. There's a company in California that will put you in a fancy biodegradable coffin bag that looks pretty sick.
Whoa.
So they take you out to sea in this bag that is shaped still like a coffin for some reason.
You're right.
And then they lower you into the water, and in like 6 months, the bag decomposes, and you become one with the ocean.
Oh, cool. Are there weights on the bottom of this? Is that what that is?
Yeah, you gotta make it sink.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, yeah, they take you on a yacht and they just kind of push it off the back of the yacht, you know, with like a ramp, and then you sink down. And
they just get two dudes, one on either side, to go like, one, two, three, and you deep dunking in.
Yeah. Then they speed away and just drink a bunch of champagne. So sea burial, while normally an honorific or a privilege, hasn't always been that way. Adolf Eichmann, who was a major architect of the Holocaust, and he was one of the Nazis that fled to Argentina to escape punishment after World War II.
Yeah.
After he got caught, he stood trial in Israel and was sentenced to death. And he, you know, he was executed. So, good riddance.
Peace.
Bye.
Go fuck yourself.
I think you can say that to Nazis.
Yeah, but I'm just talking to someone who's been dead for many decades now. So, I don't know who's listening. If you're a listener of this show, Eichmann, go fuck yourself.
So for a long time, though, the location of Adolf Eichmann's body wasn't really known. And that caused a lot of conspiracy controversy where people were like, oh, he cut a deal with Israel to sell out other Nazis and they let him go back to Argentina. But the reason that the location of his body wasn't known was so that Nazi sympathizers couldn't visit his grave and make it like a memorial to their stupid, dumb cause.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
But recently, some memos pertaining to Eichmann's execution were uncovered, and this note was found.
After the sentence was carried out, Adolf Eichmann's body was cremated at 4:35 a.m. over the deck of the Israel Police's Coast Guard boat. I scattered his ashes in the water outside Israel's borders.
And that kind of revealed it. Eichmann was buried at sea to symbolize the fact that no nation would be home to his body after death. And it was also weirdly significant because for a long time, Judaism has been really against cremation because they believe that the full body will come back after death.
Yeah.
That cremation has always been a taboo thing in Judaism. By cremating Eichmann's body, they were hoping to represent the finality with which the Nazis would be removed from the earth. You know, it's kind of cool. I mean, we're somehow still having to deal with this shit, like,
right.
Decades later.
Yeah. For better and for worse, you cannot kill ideology. And it's a bummer that that is the case with very bad ideology. But it's still a really powerful statement to not provide a home for it, even in the case of a higher up in the Nazi party having a dedicated burial ground.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty neat. You know, they did the same thing with Osama bin Laden, too. That's why he was buried at sea, so that he wouldn't have tributes at his grave or anything like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
So that's all I had on death and water. I think what we can boil it down to is that it's great if you're a whale or if you want to provide a habitat for a bunch of fish, and it's bad if you're a Nazi.
Well, it's great for everyone who's not the Nazi, if you are a Nazi, for you to be buried at sea.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Whale food. I was thinking about Eternal Reefs and what they do with the concrete, where they mix in the cremains with the concrete, and how they said you can etch into it, you know, leave impressions.
Yeah.
Would you feel weird at all if a friend or loved one died and you did this process with them as kind of a tribute to draw something with your finger in their concrete that is also their cremains? Would you feel weird about that? Putting a handprint in your dead loved one?
It would be a little strange because there's kind of part of me that's like, the back of my hand is kind of hairy.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, yeah, I got that, like, Esau thing going on. So there would be, like, some, like, little flecks of cement stuck to my hand. And I'd be like, ew, that's Dorian's finger. Ew. I don't know. It's kind of gnarly. But also, I feel like it would be diluted enough that I'd be like, whatever.
Yeah, just snip your fur off there the back of your hand. And you'd probably be good.
Wolfman.
I give you permission. If I die before you and I do this process and I get turned into concrete, like if there's a little piece of me still stuck to you, don't sweat it. It's no big deal. It's just a formality.
You're like, not too upset with that part being buried in the water?
Nah. I forgive you from beyond the grave.
Thanks, man.
From beyond the ocean. Thanks for researching this, Max. I know that you probably had to dig up a lot of courage and summon a lot to be able to explore this topic.
Yeah, I thought a lot about fish touching me, and that was awful.
Yeah, did you think about the bottom of the ocean and being on the bottom of the ocean with all the crawly dudes?
Yeah, and those like anglerfish with the big dumb mouths.
Ooh, those creep me out.
Ooh.
Well, thank you. Thanks as well to Blue Whale Facts 1 on Twitter for the suggestion. This was legitimately awesome. And if you have any suggestions for episodes or any feedback that you want to give us, we really, really, really love hearing that sort of thing. So here's how you can get in touch with us and support us. Just right off the top, if you want to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, we love that sort of thing. It gives us a little bit more attention on our podcast. We really appreciate that sort of thing.
Dopamine. Get a nice little dopamine bump.
Yeah. Here's what I don't appreciate, though. Is my good friend Matt Moore leaving us a 5-star review with...
Oh, you warned me about this.
Yeah, with a lot of explicit language that I don't think his wife would really appreciate putting out into the world. This is titled Incredibly Satisfied by the user Not Matt Moore. Guess what? I'm on to you. It is Matt Moore.
I'm on to this con.
I know who it is. Matt Moore says, Pre-Dead Boys leaves me feeling incredibly satisfied at the end of episode. The two boys, presumably very attractive, speak with such smooth sensuality that I find myself with a complete erection within a minute of every episode.
Huh.
About death. A podcast about death. You get a boner. That's interesting.
Huh.
It says, sometimes Dorian talks a little too much and it might take a full 2 minutes before I am actually fully erect. But, nevertheless, I am most certainly erect. That's in all caps.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's real evocative for you. He goes on.
There's more.
There's more.
Jesus.
He goes on. No matter morbid topic, these two ooze sexuality in every tantalizing word. All I can say is, yes, please, daddy, like, give me more. That being said, 5 stars.
So I'm glad that my mother has an Android and therefore can't access these reviews. That makes me very happy.
So you're saying keep this in the episode and don't edit it out, or...
I'm gonna let you do whatever you want with that, bud. You can keep it in. My mom can't... Well, my mom will hear it, but she can't read it. So well, maybe you're making it all up.
I'm not making this up. Hi, Mrs. McKenna. I would apologize, but this is not my fault. I am a man of my word, and I will read 5-star reviews on our podcast. I think Matt Moore owes Mrs. McKenna an apology. So...
apologize to my mom, jerk.
So, yeah, we'll set up a point of contact and make sure that we get an apology for this very rude, very naughty Matt Moore. That said, thank you for the 5-star review. It does help us out a lot.
Yeah.
But hey, if you want to leave us a less disgusting review,
please.
The bar is pretty low. If you're on an Apple device, go ahead and do that up. If you're on any device, telling a friend about this show is the biggest help. We don't really do advertising. We want this to be word of mouth for the people who actually want to listen to this sort of thing. And we really appreciate all the support that we've had so far.
Hey, y'all are a rare breed.
Yeah. Thanks to our death positive friends out there. And hey, tell us what you think. If you want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, we're at PreDeadBoys. If you want to email us, we're PreDeadBoys@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group. Just search Pre-Dead Boys Podcast.
I have been so into the Facebook group lately.
Yeah.
It rules. Lots of dogs. Lots of LaCroix talk.
Yeah, it's
a lot of fun. I am amped about everything going on there constantly.
Yeah, I want to give a little bit of an apology to our faithful listener, Heidi, who was a little disappointed in her first experience with LaCroix. I guess it's not for everyone, but hey, you gave it an honest shot. And that's
sorry
all
we made
ask.
You purchase something.
Hey, speaking of purchasing and money, we do enjoy money. And if you would like to help us pay for hosting fees, recording equipment, LaCroix budget, you can go to ko-fi.com/predeadboys and give us a $3 or more tip. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Thank you to Brat Curse for letting us use that good, good song.
Thank you.
You can check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. And that's going to do it for us. So, Max, where are we going to watch SpongeBob SquarePants Halloween?
You just moved in. Did you bring a VHS player when you moved in?
I didn't bring one to the castle. I figured they just keep VCRs in castles, but I'm sorely mistaken.
We'll just have to go to a beach house where people have VHS players around for some reason still.
Yeah, and like a copy of Cape Fear and 5 of just garbage movies that are not as good as Cape Fear. So you just watch Cape Fear 5 times in 1 week. Hell yeah. Let's go do that. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Remember, you're gonna rot.
You're definitely gonna rot. Bye.
Bye. The skeleton then provides an amazing spot for embroidery. Embroidery. Yeah, you bring a nice one home to your mom, and then she puts it on one of those little hoop things, and then stitches, like, bone is where the heart is, into it.